Thankful for everyone that's here this evening, and thankful for the prayers on my behalf. It's my prayer that as we study God's word and some of the ideas I want to present this evening, that it'll provoke you to think about certain things and how we do certain things, and maybe things we do that we don't need to do, or things we should be doing that we don't do. So it'll be an encouragement for us this evening. You know, in the work of the church, most of the work of the church is done the way I think things are. Most of the work that's done in the work of the church is the elders and the evangelists. You know, the elders are the ones that oversee the flock of an individual congregation. They're the ones that decides what's taught, who's doing the teaching. Those things, most of the time, they're the ones doing the individual studies with members of the congregation or friends of the members of the congregation, whatever that case may be. And then you have those that preach from the pulpit, and we present God's word the best to our ability in certain situations, and we try to convey those messages. And the deacon is deacons are supposed to be the physical workers of the congregation. We take care of the physical needs of the congregation, helps guide those with spiritual problems to the elders, those things like that. And we think, well, you know, if all of that work is done by the men or the overseers of the congregation, then what can I do? You know, what's in it that I can do in the congregation? You know, for as an individual member sitting on the pew, what can I do? And there's countless things that we can do, and we'll study a little of that this evening. This is by no means an in-depth study of things that you can do as individual members of a congregation. It's just a highlight of some of the things that Scripture says that we can be about doing the work and the work of the kingdom, and it applies to each and every one of us, not just the elder, deacon, evangelist, the male members, whatever the case may be. It's just a simple, basic lesson of what you can do to help the work in the kingdom of God for helping spread the borders. You know, Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16 says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." You know, and we understand this. It's a very simple idea, but it's a command from God that we are to be about spreading the borders of the kingdom, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have several in our group here that are very good at doing home studies. We have several that are very good at presenting lessons from God's word from the pulpit. We have several in our congregation that if you go up and ask them a question of a spiritual nature or of a physical problem you're having, or that you're looking for an answer from God's word, that if they don't real quick have an answer, they can find one real quick. We understand the idea that we're supposed to be spreading the borders of the kingdom. But, you know, if you don't think you're able to do these type of studies or don't preach from the pulpit, you may find yourself asking, but what can I do? And we tend to classify church work as either important work or not important work. You know, and that's, to me, that's just something I seem to have gathered through the years, is how we classify church work. Well, it's, you know, the evangelists and the elders do an important church work. They guide the congregations. The evangelists help guide all of the congregations, and the elders, the individual congregations. And we think, well, the rest of the stuff that we do is not all that important, but yet all of the work in God's kingdom is important. So for a little bit, I want us to just look at several things that we may be able to do that we may not think that are of that much of an importance. Matthew chapter 25, starting verse 35. Well, it starts in verse 34. I have 35 on the slide. Starting verse 34, it says, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it to me. You know, and we look at this group of verses, and we read these verses all the time, and yet I wonder how much we really grasp out of the verses of what's part of the work that we can be doing in the kingdom of God. You look at verse 35, 36, it says, I was a hungered and you gave me meat. We can help feed our brothers and sisters. Invite someone over for lunch. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. You know, if every now and then we'll come by here on a Saturday, Jeff will be out here mowing the yard, and I'll go down and get him a Dr. Pepper and bring him back a Dr. Pepper. It's not something he needs. You know, he's desperate that he needs, but it's something he enjoys, and it's something I can do to help share that Jeff's taking care of the congregation, the building around the congregation. It says, I was a stranger and you took me in. We can offer our home as hospitality to those visiting or traveling through and stop for a day or two and they need a place to stay without having to pay for a motel room. It says, naked and you clothed me. You know, we don't do so much anymore. We used to have a clothes gathering spot up in the balcony that if we had someone that came in and needed clothes, and there were several opportunities we had, someone's house had burnt down, well, we had clothes to help with that. Naked and you clothed me. And we think these are not important jobs, but you know, if your house just burnt to the ground and everything that's in it, you're very thankful to have any clothes, let alone several sets of clothes. It says, I was sick and you visited me. You know, we do that all the time. When someone's in the hospital or someone's homebound, we try to go visit and see if there's anything we do to help them out. I was in prison, you came unto me. Of course, under our group here, we don't hardly ever have anyone in a situation that's in prison that we need to go visit. But I know several in our congregation or in our brotherhood that do visit the prisons quite often, and they have certain people that they go visit when they're in those situations. So we see in these verses that Jesus tells us that we are to provide food, drink, clothes, a place to stay, just the basic necessities of life to those that are suffering. And this is all classified under what you might call a heading of hospitality. Are we hospitable people to our brothers and sisters in the church? And especially in the church. You know, they also talk about visiting. Well, if we're able, we go visit someone in the hospital. If we're able to offer up prayers for them, offer up prayer for them. If there's something that, you know, hospital food is notorious for being fantastic. So if you're in the hospital and you need a hamburger or something to break up hospital food, well, let somebody know. We'll go get something, bring it up to you. That's just, you know, we think that's just being hospitable, but if you're in the need and someone fulfills that need, man, that's fantastic. So that's just part of the things we can do as workers in the kingdom, that we may not think that these are very important jobs, but in reality, they are fantastically important jobs, because without it, then we don't show the love to our brothers and sisters in God's kingdom. James chapter 5, verse 13 through 16 says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, these verses here talk about prayers for the sick, which is a great opportunity that we can take full advantage of. But also, as in verse 16, it says that we are to be able to go to one another confessing our thoughts and our weaknesses to gain strength and encouragement from our brothers and sisters. Well, I'll tell you on the first part of this, to offer prayers for the sick. If you've never had someone in the hospital facing major situations that you don't understand the power of prayer, whether it's whether you know physically somebody that's praying for you, or you just know everybody's praying for you, it makes a drastic difference in your attitude and how you handle whatever situation that you're in the hospital for. You know, when Brenda was in the hospital the first round of cancer, she had David Minson's oldest daughter, Elise. The congregation they were at the time, the ladies got together and they just gathered up cards and they sent out cards to the people in the brotherhood that needed a prayer to know that, hey, we're thinking about y'all, we're praying for you, we hope the best. And things like that that you don't think are very important make a big difference in someone's sickness and how they handle those things. When we visit someone in the hospital, we may think, well, what do I say? What do I do? Well, you can visit, have a conversation, simply talking to somebody besides somebody that's in the hospital staff makes a difference. Offer a prayer or just be there. You know, sometimes it's just seeing a familiar face. But people don't have to be in the hospital strictly for us to visit. We can visit if someone's homebound, sick at home, or whatever the case may be. We have an example of this in Job chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. It says, now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came everyone from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept, and they rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. Now this is before they got to him. They saw him from afar off, and they saw what kind of shape he is in, and this is their response. But when they got there, verse 13 says, so they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. You know, you can just let someone know, I'm here if you need a help. You don't have to go in and say anything. You don't have to go offer prayers to somebody. You don't have to bring food. You can just be there. Be a friendly face and someone with a shoulder to lean on. If they need to talk, they can talk. If they need to cry, they can cry. Whatever the case may be, you're just there to help share and carry that burden that they face when they're in the hospital with terrible sicknesses and illnesses. Romans chapter 12, verse 10, then picking on up in verse 13 through 15. Verse 10 says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. So we look at this, be kindly affectioned one to another. That's great. We're supposed to be that way to everybody, which I fail at miserably. And yet, Scripture here tells us, in honor, preferring one another. So we are to prefer the company of brothers and sisters in the church over people out in the world. But yet, we're still supposed to be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. That doesn't say just those in the church. We're supposed to be that way to everybody. Verse 13 picks up, says, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, just what we've been talking about, could be anything. Whatever you want to list could be anything. But notice the very last of verse 15, or verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. That's part of our duty as brothers and sisters in the church, is to help share that with someone else. Whether it's good or bad, we are to help share those times with our brothers and sisters. If it's good, fantastic, that's great. Hey, let's go help them out, do whatever we can. If it's a bad situation that they're weeping, well, just like Job's friends, hey, we're here. If you need to talk to somebody, if you need any help, we're here, just let me know. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6, 26 says, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Just what we were talking about in Romans chapter 12. That as a body, we either all suffer or we all rejoice. You know, and a basic analogy to this is, you know, if I'm walking through the living room at night and all the lights are out, which, you know, it seems like our house is lit up like a Christmas tree at night. But if I'm walking through the living room and somebody's moved a piece of furniture and I find that piece of furniture with my little toe, well, the whole body is suffering. That's the analogy that this makes me think of for the church as well. If one member suffers, we all suffer with it. If one member's honored or rejoicing, we all rejoice and we're all honorable with them. So we see it isn't just in the troubles of life that we can offer support. We can also share in the joys of life. When you face the things in life that have the possibility of what we would call life-changing, you gain strength from the smallest of things, a call, a card, a text, a visit, a hug. These are things that we think aren't all that important, and to the giver of these things, they may not seem all that important. But if you're on the receiving end, these are great blessings. The major underlying characteristic of these simple things is love. If you think a call, a card, a text, a visit, a hug aren't all that great, you've never been on the receiving end of it. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. If we love one another, we know God." That's a defining characteristic of a Christian, is to be able to have love for one another and show our love to one another. Again, when Brenda's going through some of her cancer treatments and surgeries, I can't tell you how much of this we receive. The prayers, the calls, the text, food. You know, we had more food than what we could eat. We just had to, no, we're good. Just let it sit. People sitting with us during hospital visits, you know, helping me do things that I was still working at the time. Carolyn Smith would come and sit with Brenda during some of the treatments so I could go to work. Just things like this, and made a world of difference in how this thing was handled. It just gave us such great encouragement and blessing, and I know Brenda was blessed beyond measure by this, and if you ask her, this is how she got through a lot of that stuff. Then we got the good news. There was great joy, and part of that joy was that you shared with us when we found out she was cancer-free at that time. That's just some of the simple things that we take for granted. We think, well, these aren't all that important. I just texted him to see how he's doing. Well, if you got the text, somebody asking how you're doing, that's a great blessing. These things that we think aren't all that important make a drastic difference in somebody's life because they know that you're thinking about them, that you're offering prayers about them, and that they're considering your well-being and anything they can do to help. This is a great blessing. I'll close with one last verse, Romans chapter 12, verse 12 and 13. "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality." These are also some of the great characteristics we need to have as children of God to help in our kingdom that we work in, the work of the church, that we may not think these things are all that fantastic. Rejoicing in hope. What better blessing is there for us that we can rejoice together in the hope that we have of making it to heaven one day? Patient in tribulation. You know, patience is not a strong characteristic that I possess. And Brenda will tell you that later on. There are things that just, boy, just trigger me real quick and I have a hard time dealing with. And yet patient in tribulation is something that we need to be about, because when we're patient in tribulation, then we can redirect our focus to more important things instead of like what Barry talked about this morning. We get to worrying about what all the what-ifs around us. Continuing instant in prayer. Talk to God. let him know what it is that you're having a problem with. And also realize that there's others talking to God in your favor as well. Distributing to the necessity of the saints and giving to hospitality. That's just something that ought to be a natural characteristic for us as children of God. Don't ever, ever, ever underestimate the power of love as being unimportant in the work of the kingdom for our brethren and for God, and the power of our prayers. Go visit somebody, whether they're in the house sick and not being able to get out, or they're in the hospital, or they're in a retirement home, whatever the case may be. Text somebody. You know, you can be working and think of somebody, and it doesn't take just a couple of minutes to stop and text somebody. Call them. I know this is a foreign concept to a lot of the generation nowadays to use our cell phones as something to actually make a call on, but call somebody. Send a card. Meet for a meal. Meet for a cup of coffee. Whatever the case is, do something. If somebody needs help, help them. Whatever the situation is, whether it's monetarily or physically or whatever the case may be, help the best you can. And these are just some of the basic things that we need to be about doing in the work of the kingdom. And again, it's all based from love. Love for our brothers and sisters in the kingdom. I'll leave the lesson with you this evening. I hope some of these things have been encouraging. Help us to view how we view some of the work in the church better in the future than maybe we have in the past. There is no unimportant work in the kingdom of God. It's all important. And when we do these things, we don't do it for our glory. We do it for God's glory. But we show our love to our brothers and sisters so that God may get that glory. Again, if someone needs to, the prayers of the church, or is studied enough to want to name Jesus Christ through baptism, we'd offer you the front pew to come up and have a seat. And we'll take care of that after the service.